Seattle is so rich in art, but as you may know, for some artists, this is just not an affordable place to keep working. One solution to that is to look east, over the Cascades, to a place like Tyatin, Washington, a little rural town near Yakima. Only about 1,000 people live there, but today it is home to an arts incubator called Mighty Tyatin, started by a man from Seattle. Ed Marquand first came to Tyatin in 2005, and since then, artists from Seattle and Portland have moved their production there. Producer Phoebe Flanagan told me a little of Tyatin's history.
You know, it had been this kind of booming sort of Main Street town that you sort of imagine when you think about rural America in the 50s, right? The sort of like Norman Rockwell ideal with these little barbershops and movie theaters and bustling local restaurants, things like that. But through sort of the 80s and 90s, you see this shift where changes in the global economy started to change the character of the place. So first, there's this, it's a big agricultural town. That's kind of the main industry there.
The
apple orchards, especially. So as agribusiness becomes sort of the bigger force in how things are made and sold, it gets harder and harder for the family farms that were kind of the lifeblood of Tyatin to survive. So you see big changes on that side. And with that sort of a shifting demographic in the town, at the turn of the century, the town was about 70% white, and now it's 70% Hispanic. So that was one big piece of it. There's this demographic shift. There's a shift in the nature of industry. And then the other piece of that is, you know, Yakima, which is a pretty big city relative to the area, is only about 20 minutes away. And as these sort of big box stores move into Yakima, it becomes more cost effective for people to just drive into town instead of shopping at the local mom and pops. So at the same time that you're seeing this shift in the agricultural economy, there's also the sort of main square, this beautiful little square in the middle of town that used to be filled with business, kind of dries up and blows away.
So then in 2005, this artist, entrepreneur, fine art bookmaker, Ed Marquand, buys up a bunch of empty warehouses in Tyatin. Why did he do that? What did he see in Tyatin?
So he kind of ended up in Tyatin on accident. He was on this bike ride and he got a flat tire. And so he's sitting there sort of patching his tire in this town square, looking around and notices all these vacant warehouses, these empty storefronts right along the town square. And he had been thinking for a while, he runs a business out of Seattle that's very successful. It's like a arts book business, Marquand Editions.
Beautiful books.
Beautiful books, unlike anything I've ever seen. So he needed to sort of expand his production space. And he had a lot of friends who were also different creative entrepreneurs who had sort of tried and true businesses that they were already running who needed more production space. And it was getting really expensive in Seattle to afford that sort of space to expand. So Tyatin was kind of one thing that he said to me over and over again is we couldn't have done this anywhere, but there was something about the town. And part of it was just these beautiful buildings along the town square that sort of for him inspired creativity. And he could see it as maybe like a place that tourists might like to come. It's not just like buildings along a highway. There's sort of a, I don't know. It's beautiful. It's beautiful there.
Why did Ed care whether tourists came to Tyatin?
Part of it is because, you know, his goal with all of this was let's take these thwarted urban ambitions. We can't afford the production space. Let's take these local resources and let's merge these two things and be able to make and sell things for local and national markets. So, you know, because part of his goal is to like serve this town, as well as like his own business ventures, you want to be in a place where people want to come and where it's inspiring for anyone who comes through.
And it wasn't just him. As we said, other creative types from Seattle and Portland and other expensive cities came as well. What did they want Tyatin to be?
Well, one important thing to know about what happened in this town is, you know, Ed Marquand is very well connected in the arts community. So he had a lot of friends who, like I mentioned, needed more production space. So a lot of people that are moving in, it's more that they're moving their businesses in and their production space in than actually trying to move in and totally change this town, if that makes sense.
It's cheap production space that happens to be in beautiful mountains.
Exactly. But it's also, you know, just a place to get away and be inspired.
So did they want Tyatin to become a dream for people? Like, oh, it's made in Tyatin. It's, you can put that on your handcrafted soap, a little line drawing of the hamlet.
Right. And part of it, too, is this, like, you know, there's an interesting branding aspect.
Because, branding, yeah.
Yeah. People want to buy a product that's locally made, that has this interesting story behind it, where, you know, it's not just made in China or something. This is a product that is helping to stimulate a small rural economy in our own country, in our own state. So
made
there's
in
appeal. Yeah, there's a big appeal to that.
Meanwhile, we have this small town, rural, agricultural, 70% Latino, you said. What was it like to have something that sounds straight out of hipster Brooklyn, like Ed Marquand's book company moving in?
I think that at first people were pretty skeptical. A lot of the locals didn't exactly know what this was. They'd seen other businesses or business ventures sort of come and go. It's a little twofold. Why are all these liberal Seattleites moving into our town? I talked to the former mayor of Tyatin, and but one thing he said was, you know, it felt like these Seattleites are moving in with all this money. They're taking over the town. So there was some sort of questions around what the goals of this whole project were. And I think over time, a lot of those were sort of resolved as people started to form these relationships and understand the other, as it were.
But, you know, there's culture clash, like the Music Man, River City, Iowa. Who's these newcomers? And then there's more actual thorny, difficult culture clashes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how's it actually gone in Tyatin with these changes?
Mm-hmm. A lot of it boiled down to politics and religion, which I kind of expected. We hear so much in a national dialogue about how these rural, more conservative communities and the very liberal, progressive urban hubs, people in these two places can't seem to reach across the aisle or talk or get along.
Right. We've sorted ourselves into different worlds and we hate each other, supposedly.
Supposedly. And it was really interesting to go into this town where those divisions do exist, the religious divides, you know, the different ideas about politics, the different ideas about things like homosexuality, and to see
Ed Marquand is gay.
And he has a long-term partner, very long-term partner. And about half of the people who originally got involved with Mighty Tyatin, the sort of arts incubator, were gay, openly gay. And, you know, in this community, religion is like very central to people's social interactions, their paradigm, the way they view the world. And there were a number of people that I talked to who, you know, were not necessarily very friendly to that on an ideological level. But because they like Ed, they like the other people involved in this organization, they kind of find ways to work around it. Whether that means just sort of blocking that reality out of their mind. And, you know, there was one woman that I spoke to pretty extensively, Pat Biggers. She's kind of the oracle of Tyatin, they call it. Very Christian woman, very kind, very friendly. But she also had found ways for herself to sort of ignore the fact, perhaps, that Ed and Mike were a couple. Because she's very close friends with them both. And that sometimes meant things like, in my interview with her, she referred to Mike as Ed's friend, you know, and to Ed, that was like, well, yeah, we're figuring out ways to sort of navigate around these thorny ideological problems. On the other side of it, you know, Ed did not grow up in a religious family. He didn't grow up going to church, really. And there's this Bible camp that happens every year right across the street from his main storefront there on the town square. And he told me that at first, you know, he thought it was kind of annoying. He didn't like watching these kids be indoctrinated. But over time, he realized these kids have nothing else to do. They're having a great time out there. They're getting creative. They're activating this town square. What's not to like about it? You know, so I think that that sort of moral pragmatism goes both ways, where at the end of the day, people in the small community really just want to find ways to get along, which, again, totally contradicts what we're hearing at a national dialogue about these different communities.
That was producer Phoebe Flanagan. We are tweeting out a link to her story on Tieton for Slate's Placemakers podcast right now. So we're tweeting that out to you at KUOW. We have interviewed that Seattle artist, by the way, Ed Marquand. You can find our conversation with him when you search the word Tieton, which is spelled T-I-E-T-O-N.